Les colloques du Collège de France.
So I'm going to make some brief comments, and after that, the speakers of this session will have the opportunity to react to each other talk if they wish, or to my comments if they wish. So before sharing with you these comments, first I must confess that in my philosophical research, I am not working on topics related to space, or at least not yet. But that might change soon, because I really found the papers and the talks very stimulating to think about some dimensions of the role of science in society that are not very often discussed about space science. So what I'm going to do is to identify two or three points running through your papers, and which I think would be interesting to discuss a bit further. Not surprisingly, these points will be directly related to the topic of the session, of course, that is the relation between scientific exploration and commercial exploitation of outer space, and also more broadly, to the kind of expectations you can have towards space science. So as a starting point, let us recall that the answer to the question, is science benefiting from human activities in space? And we all know it is a very strong narrative, science as a key driver of space exploration. So the answer to this question is far from being a ringing yes. And directly drawing on your papers, one can list negative impacts on science of different kinds. Well, a first negative impact that comes to mind are things like visual pollution produced by constellation of satellites, which is a problem, for instance, for astronomers. But more interestingly, perhaps, because of a direct instrumental link between space science and the development of commercial exploitation of resources, science inherits, so to speak, ambiguous moral evaluation of commercial exploitation and the many warnings about it voiced, and rightly so, in your papers. Just to name a few, warning that unchecked space exploitation risks replicating neocolonialist and extractivist practices, risk of increasing global inequalities, since private corporations and spacefaring nations dominate access to space resources, marginalizing less developed countries and future generations, and so on. So hence the need expressed in your papers for an international regulatory body. My first question to you, to the panelists, is the following. Independently, or maybe in addition to this need for an international regulatory body, do you think that scientific communities or scientific institutions, and especially public ones, have some special role to play or some kind of responsibility, especially toward the public, to resist this cooptation by powerful actors, or at least to distance itself from this positive narrative of space exploration, given this instrumental link between space exploration and exploitation you talked about? My second question to the panelists is on the kind of constraints that can legitimately be put on space science. Yesterday, Professor Rasmasson raised this interesting, maybe disturbing question. Is it okay to develop non-sustainable use of space as long as it helps improve sustainability on Earth? And space science is directly concerned by this question. On the one hand, we all know that satellites are very useful in many ways to know more about climate changes, to monitor all kinds of things at the surface of the Earth, biodiversity, water supplies, and so on. But on the other hand, we all know also that this is not at all a green science, and it also contributes to some extent to environmental risk, as for example, Professor Massimi mentioned again in her talk, like space junk, heavy metal contamination from spacecraft re-entry, and so on. So when advocating for an international regime, especially under the principle of common heritage of mankind, widely discussed, in this session. So a regime that would ensure sustainable and equitable space activities. Such a regime also concerns space science, since space science is a space activity, which means putting constraints on the agenda of space science and, in facto, limiting freedom of research. Sure enough, that is already the case for research conducted on Earth. Scientists have to deal with different kinds of expectations and constraints from other components of the society, limiting their freedom of research. For instance, astronomers have now to take into consideration the interests of local native people when they implement new instruments on their territory. Or researchers in artificial intelligence are expected to incorporate consideration of energy use, for instance, or in particle physics, the CERN project to build a new collider is challenged on environmental grounds. So my question is the following: what about this tension between regulating space activities, including space science, and the need, if there is a need, and the need for more space science to address the very same issues, like environmental issues on Earth? And so how can we overcome this tension? And maybe a last quick quick comment to finish. When we think about how space science could better serve the common good, whatever that means exactly, or more modestly, how space science could at least serve a broader set of interest than the interest of, say, resource companies which want to exploit resources. That brings us to the question of what topics space science should address in priority. And if you want to overcome this risk of instrumentalization of science, you have to address the question of undone space science. That is, you need to be able to identify neglected topics in space science. Neglected because these topics are not directly useful to dominant actors who were discussed today and yesterday. So just two examples of undone space science or neglected topics. Recently in the scientific journal Nature, there was this call for more research to address what the authors of the paper called humanity's cosmic footprint. For instance, changes of celestial dynamics when you want to extract something from an asteroid and so on. Another example, maybe more down to earth, if I may say, more research is certainly needed, for instance, on the impact of the atmospheric drag of space objects, like space debris when they re-enter the atmosphere, on the middle and upper atmosphere of climate change. So this kind of neglected topic that might not be directly useful to the exploration of the outer space, but this will be certainly very useful to be epistemically better equipped to elaborate a better governance of human space activities. So I stop here, and so I let you react to each other's talks and or to my comments if you want, and then we'll open the discussion.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.